If you're a smoker or dipper looking to make a change, you really only need one reason to do it. But with Zyn nicotine pouches, you can find many. Zyn is America's number one nicotine pouch. It's made with only 6 simple ingredients. Plus, Zyn is the only nicotine pouch with a 10-day hassle-free trial. There are lots of options when it comes to nicotine satisfaction, but there's only one Zyn. Find your Zyn online or in a store near you at zyn.com/find. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
You introduce yourself by a sentence, and then I give you a formal introduction. But the sentence is your version, whatever you want to say, of, hi, my name is Dylan. My name is Catherine Tappan. I forgot to even bring that up. That I meet Dylan. She gets invited to a dinner. And then we sit down at dinner. And I think 3 to 4 times I call you Catherine.
Yes, Catherine Brian Tappan. Noticed it
I know,
before
I did it multiple times when we sat down at this like 20-person dinner. And you were across. So it wasn't even just like turning to you and saying it. It was me shouting it across the table. How's your food, Catherine?
Yeah, Tappan? You don't always have to say somebody's name.
No,
in a conversation, but you were like flippantly just saying Catherine or Tappan or.
I know, and that's not even something that I do. But here I am calling you by your name when I don't even need to, and then it wasn't
with
your
such
name.
Confidence.
Okay. Hi, my name is Catherine Tappan, and I blank.
Okay, here we go. Hi, everybody. I'm Dylan Dreyer, a brave meteorologist who likes to stand outside in hurricanes. Also the co-host of the Third Hour of Today.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Off the Beat with me, your host, Brian Baumgartner. I am so happy that you're here today. You guys are going to love this episode. And I mean love it because, well, yes, that's right. Today we are celebrating Valentine's Day on Off the Beat. Now, Valentine's Day, it's not just about romance. No, it is very specifically about eating candy hearts, making new friends, and telling them that you love them. So I am so excited to have my new bestie on the podcast today, NBC's very own Dylan Dreyer. You might recognize Dylan from her work on, well, pretty much every NBC news show. She's worked on MSNBC, Today's Show, Weekend Today, Today's Third Hour, Nightly News, and she hosts her very own TV series, Earth Odyssey. This is what I love about this podcast. It enables me to really talk and get to know so many new people. I had just met Dylan at the Hilton Grand Vacations Tournament of Champions golf tournament down in Orlando, Florida. If you look at my Instagram, you will see she gave an excellent weather report, exclusive content for me. We got to know each other and we bonded almost immediately. And I found her so fascinating, the combination of entertainment and of real science, meteorology. For some reason, I never put those two things together. It was a fascinating talk we had there. I wanted to bring her on the podcast to dive in more. I promise you are going to learn something today and learn that you love Dylan Dreyer. This was such a fun conversation. We get into everything from reporting natural disasters to even her love story with her former cameraman. I'm so excited for you to hear this. Let's get to it. Dylan Dreyer, everyone.
Bubble and squeak, I love it. Bubble and squeak, I know. Bubble and squeak, I cook it every morning, left over from the night before.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Dylan Dreyer. Now,
what's
let me ask you this.
On?
Is it contractual that you have to have the peacock in the background there?
No, I just think it's actually really cool. It's like my own little piece of stained glass art.
Well, yeah, but it's like literally right over your shoulder. So the entire time I get to stare at the NBC peacock.
Well, it was going to be that or it was going to be this. So I thought this was a little much.
Misty the Clout. I think both. There's your husband, Brian, the most supportive guy on the golf course.
That is an understatement.
Dylan Dreyer, co-host, third hour of the Today Show, and NBC News meteorologist.
Thank you, Dylan Dreyer. I like having a full title.
I want to get into that in a little bit, but I want to start going backwards to your childhood. Now, let me say this. One reason I wanted to have you on is you're awesome, but also I don't learn things that much anymore. And you learned me things when we
what
were
did I
together
teach you?
There in Orlando. Well, we'll get into that in a minute, but you grew up in Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In Manalapan. Manalapan.
It's pronounced Manalapan.
Why correct me this early? There's going to be many more mistakes like that.
You sounded silly. Manalapan.
Yeah, that sounds way better. Well, let me ask you this. What were you interested in as a kid? Yeah, like sports or art?
Yeah,
or?
I grew up with two older brothers, so I was interested in doing anything they were doing. You know, I was like the little sister who just wanted to, you know, bother them all the time. But they were big into baseball. I played softball since I was 5 years old. I remember starting on an all boys league because there were no girls playing for some reason. I remember just having all boys on my team, but not really thinking anything of it because I grew up with brothers. You know, I never thought anything other than I want to play t-ball. So this is where I'm going to play t-ball. So I was, you know, definitely grew up more as a tomboy. You know, my dad built the house we grew up in. It was in the middle of the woods. Like when you think of New Jersey, you think of just outside New York City, you know?
Right.
But we grew up on like 4 acres of property in the middle of nowhere on the side of town. Nobody lived. It was my brothers and me. There was an apple orchard across the street. We would go and steal apples, you know, and it was just, it was like this weird country lifestyle that I grew up in.
Is that near Pennsylvania?
No, it's right, like literally right in the middle of New Jersey. It was an hour from New York and an hour from Philly.
Okay. So were you interested at all in performing? Like, did you do any play? No, because you had brothers and you did brother things and picked apples on the weekend.
Basically. And I'm not a performer. You know, I wasn't that kid where, you know, your aunts and uncles would be like, oh, she's going to be, you know, she's going to do something in the spotlight. I mean, I'm shy by nature. I'm kind of reserved. I'm not the kind of person who runs into a room and look at me, you know, type of personality. I like being a wallflower until I get comfortable, until I, you know, pick out the people I can kind of jive with. And so, I mean, it really is bizarre. My mom and dad still think it's weird that I do anything in TV because it's just so like anti who I was growing up.
Right. Were you interested in science?
Yes, I was interested in science. I actually went to school for engineering. I loved math. I loved science. Rutgers had a great engineering program. So it seemed like that's what you do when you like math and science. But engineering just didn't, there was no like field of engineering that I really liked. I just didn't enjoy it. I didn't see myself doing it in the future. And there was like a meteorology 101 class. I'm like, oh, mom, this sounds fun. Let me try this. And it turns out all my math credits and science credits transferred over to meteorology, and I sort of just fell into it that way.
There's a lot of math and science in meteorology?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, computers do it all now, but I, because of my education, know what the computers are doing, but I'll never have to actually use that again.
Right. Now, does one become a meteorologist? I mean, I guess they do, right? There are meteorologists who are not on television, right?
Oh, yeah. No, and I was actually not, again, I'm not someone who likes to be in the spotlight. So I was never going to do TV weather. I was going to do research or forensic meteorology. You know, you work for a law firm and, you know, somebody says there was I slipped on ice. It's like, well, let me go back and look to see if there was actually ice that day or if conditions were favorable for ice, you know, in the exact location where you're saying you slipped. I was thinking National Weather Service or, you know, private forecasting companies who work for, you know, plow truck drivers and landscapers and all that kind of stuff. So it wasn't until I had an internship at CBS, WCBS, the local CBS in New York. And then I was like, oh, this is kind of fun. So you get to like do all the science and look at the maps and do all your homework. And then you actually get to talk to people about it. So it just seemed like something that was going to be fun.
What was it about meteorology that you liked? Just that it allowed you to apply a lot of your skills? Or was there something specifically about the weather?
I just think it's really fascinating. I love how it works. I love, you know, I talk to a lot of kids about weather, and I just, because they're so fascinated, they just are in awe if it's snowing or, you know, you go play outside because it's sunny and it's warm. I can literally answer any question they have about the weather. And I love being able to do that. It just, the science of how weather develops and why there are clouds and thunderstorms and hurricanes, it just makes so much sense in my brain. And I like being able to talk about it. And especially in this, you know, type of role where I worked in local news, yes, I can make a forecast. And I actually make pretty good forecasts. You know, I like looking at the computer models and being able to tell people exactly when it's going to rain or when it's going to do what it's going to do. But I also get to explain what can be a complicated science in a way people can understand. I like to use analogies. I like to use everyday objects as props to explain why things are happening, to just sort of make it more fun and understandable for everybody. Like when you asked me in Florida for a forecast, right?
Yes.
I was actually like the next day really proud of my forecast. I mean, I said it's not going to rain till like 3 o'clock, and it sprinkled right at 3 o'clock and was kind of cloudy and looking like rain all day. And I'm like hitting Brian, my husband, you know, I'm like, my forecast was spot on. Like I was really proud of myself.
Well, that's the thing. I actually think, how do I say this in a way that, well, there's no really way to say it, except you guys have done such a great job of dumbing it down and simplifying it for people that I don't think people understand how complicated it is.
It's like true.
You have done meteorology a disservice by making it seem like you look up at clouds and you're like, oh, okay, this is what's going to happen. I mean, I don't know if this is the right time to do it, but this to me, this is what you learned me for sure. When you see some a weather forecast on whatever, weather.com or whatever NBC internet site you're on, and it gives you a percentage of rain at 2 o'clock for tomorrow. Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
If you look at your iPhone app and you pull it up right now, if it's a 30% chance of rain in your area, chances are you're in the clear. Like you're 70% in the clear that it's not going to rain. But in your general area, there's a 30% chance that somebody in your general area is going to see rain. Okay. Right. So let me give you an example. So earlier this week, it snowed in New York City. Okay. It was snowing down in Battery Park, like at the southern tip of New York. I was in Midtown at the time. It was not snowing in Midtown. So right. I would say like a 30% chance of snow was pretty accurate for Manhattan. Okay. Right. I didn't get it. Probably would have hedged my bets that I'm not going to see snow anyway. But you go downtown and it snowed. It's like, all right, well, they did say a 30% chance of snow. And, you know, it did snow in Manhattan.
Right.
So
I'm with you.
Are you?
This is how I heard it. I think that the way a lay person looks at it is like, there's a 30% chance it's going to rain. And so there's a greater percentage that it's not going to rain. But I think what was interesting to me about what you said is like it, they have the map. It is going to rain. It yes. may not rain where you're standing at yes. that time, but it's going to rain.
Exactly.
You and know especially that.
In the summertime, like you have pop-up thunderstorms, you know, and literally it could be raining in one town and the next town over, it's not raining. So if it's a 30% chance of rain and I go play a round of golf, right. I'm going to assume it's not going to rain. There'll be rain around, but I'm going to assume I'll be in the clear. But if it does rain, it's like, oh, I guess I just kind of got screwed on that one. So, you know,
right.
it ended up raining where I am.
So you intern at CBS in New York. And you start thinking, oh, this is something that I could do. Like, this is a specific way that I could use my meteorology degree. By the way, that's a really hard word to say. I said that to you before.
It's hard to type out, too.
It is. It is. There's a lot of O's. Now, did you then begin pursuing that? Well, you graduate. You get a degree. Mm-hmm. Is this a hard major?
No, it's a tough major.
Right.
I mean, like you take 4 years of calculus. I mean, it's intense.
Oh.
Yeah, no, it's a legit like Bachelor of Science degree.
Wow.
And again, I went to Rutgers. So Rutgers, you know, you could go to some schools that have a broadcast meteorology degree, which then you get to, you know, work on your broadcasting skills. But Rutgers was very research based, you know, it's kind of a research school. So for me, mine's like legit. Hardcore like research meteorology.
Did you have any broadcast meteorology classes? No,
not at all. You had to apply to the School of Communications if you wanted to do anything in broadcast, which just seemed like a lot of work. So I had no TV skill, no public speaking skills, like literally, and I'm shy. Like I had no reason to go into TV whatsoever.
Right. So then what happens? You go to CBS and you think, well, this is kind of interesting. And then what do? Do you take classes?
So I was working with Craig Allen over there, who, you know, is a well-known meteorologist in New York. And he
very famous, Craig.
Yes. In New York. He knew somebody who went to the local news station in Albany, New York. And he said, listen, they'll let you use their studio to make a demo tape. So I remember driving out there with my mom, picking out like the perfect outfit, which looking back, I mean, it was a black turtleneck with a purple suede blazer and a big chunky necklace. You know, I mean, like, that's a good look. That's going to get me the job. So I go out there and I'm nervous. You know, I tend to get nervous before everything I do. And I go out there and they give me the studio, the green screen and all that. And I start trying to talk. And I can't, like the words, I can't even make up a sentence. It's like I've never spoken words before. I just get such stage fright. And there's people around. And this guy who I don't know, who's letting me use the studio, is kind of standing off to the side, trying to like give me pointers. My mom's no help. And it literally takes till their 6 p.m. news is coming on. But they're like, you have to go. Like, I hope you have something you can use. And I had to go. And I just cried all the way home because I said, I ruined this chance to make this demo tape. But sure enough, it was on a VHS tape. I put it in like these yellow little, you know, VHS boxes and I shipped them to 60, 70 little small markets all across the country. Never heard back from anyone until Lincoln, Nebraska, the ABC station in Lincoln, Nebraska called. They said, why don't you come out, you know, and do a demo in person? So I go out and I do the demo, but the other guy who's also applying for this job happens to be there also. And he's like, good, he's smooth, he's confident, you know, and he's doing a great job. And then, you know, stupid me goes up there. And again, I'm like stage fright city with like this Jersey accent, you know, high pitched squeaky voice. And so then the general manager takes me out for lunch to do our interview part of this whole thing. And we go across the street to a McDonald's. Keep in mind, when I got picked up at the airport in Lincoln, Nebraska, I'm thinking local news, like I'm going to get picked up in a limo. You know, I'm like waiting right. to get picked up in a limousine. It's local news. It's big time. Like, this is just so cool. And it's like some girl in her, you know, Toyota Corolla picks me up at the airport. And I was like, this is interesting. So We go to the McDonald's and the guy's like, are you nervous? And I said, no, I'm not nervous, you know, trying to be all confident. And he's like, then why is your face as red as that French fry carton? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, what do you say to that? And how do you like go forward with any kind of confidence? So needless to say, I didn't get the job. I remember calling them like 2 weeks later. I'm like, hey, just wanted to follow up to see if you selected somebody. And they're like, oh yeah, we hired somebody else.
No.
I'm like,
okay. Oh no. You called up for the no when they tried to give a silent no.
I know. Oh, it was the worst. It was just awful. And I'm right out of college. And it was just, I mean, it was bad.
Was it the camera that made you nervous? Was it that? Because that could be very intimidating. I mean, even for people who are actors. And, you know, I've talked a lot about the show, about transitioning from, say, theater into film and television. You know, the camera is a different thing. Mm-hmm. And playing to the camera is a different thing. Do you think it was that? Or was it the people that were around? Or
I think it was certainly the camera, because I had never spoken to a camera before, and it's lifeless. Right. You know, there's no reaction. You try to make a little joke and there's nobody laughing on the other end. You know, it's just a silent camera.
Yes.
But there were also, you know, producers around, and I like, my mind is like, what are they thinking of me? Like, they're judging me. They're obviously sitting there judging me, and I'm doing terrible. And I love my mom to death, but she's not the most reassuring person in the world. You know, she's like, not great. Like, how was that one, Mom? You know, it's like something to make me feel more comfortable. Like, just give me a little nugget. But no, and it was just a struggle. I couldn't get through it.
Wow. So do you keep going at this point?
I keep going. I keep sending out more tapes, and I'm so grateful that the NBC station in Erie, Pennsylvania called.
Erie, Pennsylvania.
And I drove out there and something just felt different. It just felt right. You know, I showed up in this town I've never been in before. I've got my mom by my side. And Phil Hayes was the news director at the time. And we just clicked better. You know, we could talk. I felt more comfortable. I did my little demo. Yes, I was nervous, but he's like, you know what? I could tell you're nervous, but I know you're new at this. We'll get you a voice coach, you know? And he was like, he could see potential in me and was really going to foster that. And he was going to put in the extra effort to get me where he wanted me to be. And that's what I spent the next 2 years doing, was just whoever would take me under their wing. And Lisa Adams was the main news anchor at the time. And she took me under her wing. She'd invite me over for holidays with her family. And I felt like I belonged, and I wasn't great, but I was able to, you know, get over that initial greenness that you have when you first start in this business.
Now, maybe he just liked you or whatever, but do you think that your serious meteorology degree from Rutgers was a contributing factor in that, like the education? What percentage of local meteorologists have a trained degree?
Well, I'd say lately a lot more stations require that people have a meteorology degree. I think it's something to advertise. I think it's something to put in all your, you know, your ads for your show, like, oh, we have the most meteorologists in town. So I do think when I got into TV, that was becoming more and more a requirement. It wasn't just that you wanted, you know, some pretty girl to come on and do the weather. Like, you actually had to have something to back it up. So that certainly helped. And I knew what I was talking about. And Erie is like really a tough market to forecast for. And, you know, I'm just familiar with the weather in the Northeast, having gone to Rutgers. And, you know, I could offer my service as a meteorologist, you know, in a good way for Erie, Pennsylvania.
Right. Why is Erie tough?
Lake effect snow. I mean, it's a weird phenomenon.
Lakes effect snow?
Lake effect snow. What?
No, I was saying, okay. So like, now I've learned something new, a lake effect snow. So does the lake affect the snow? Is that why it's called lake effect?
So funny, because to me, it's like saying apple. Like, it's lake effect snow.
Lake effect snow.
What? So like, say it's not going to snow.
It's not going to snow.
It's not going to snow because there's not enough moisture
I'm
in the air.
It's not going to snow.
It's not going to snow. It's not going to snow. Okay. But if you have a wind off the Great Lakes, you know, where the water temperature is kind of warm, all of a sudden you have the moisture you need for it to snow, because you have cold air and you have now a moisture source.
Right.
So moisture in the lakes, the Great Lakes, helps fuel your need for snow. So it dump snow on areas that are right along the Great Lakes, like Buffalo, you know, inland a little bit, like Syracuse, Erie, Pennsylvania, Cleveland. Because of the lakes, they get snow. If there were no lakes, they wouldn't have snow.
Like the land of 10,000 lakes, Minnesota, it snows a lot.
Yes.
Is that because of lake effect snow? Or are those
I think
lakes
you need a bigger
small?
I think you need a bigger lake.
All right, I tried.
It was good though. I like the connections you're making.
There you go.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, it's me, Blippi. And this is my best friend, Mika.
Hi, I'm Mika. And this is our brand new podcast.
Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. The Blippi-mobile will take us to amazing places.
Click, click, put your seatbelts on. Get ready for a ride. We're gonna have some fun.
We'll explore and listen to the sounds of awesome places like farms, racetracks, and even construction sites.
Follow your ears, what do you hear?
And we'll meet new friends along the way.
They'll teach us awesome new things about the places and things we see and hear.
What did we learn today?
Learning is so cool.
Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip Podcasts on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So you're in Erie, Pennsylvania. That's an NBC station.
Yes.
Okay. And you learn, or you begin to learn your craft. You take voice lessons. Do your voice. Do your original voice for me.
I don't even know if I can get it that high anymore. It's more the way I said things, you know. So if I was going to say the word water, I would have said water. You know, it was just water.
Water.
Like like that. It's okay. Just a very regional accent. So the goal with a voice coach is to get rid of your regional accent.
Yes. No, I know. I'm from the South. I have experience. I have experience with that as well. So then you start moving around.
Yes.
Providence, Boston. Now, are these because they're bigger cities that you're moving?
Yes. So my goal was to get back to local news in New York. You know, that's the ultimate dream. I didn't think it was ever going to happen, but that was the ultimate dream.
Right. So
Erie, Pennsylvania, I was making maybe $16,000 a year.
Right.
But it was like where I learned that I learned to cook because I couldn't afford to go out to eat. I learned to budget because I couldn't jack the heat up because it was just too, you know, it was like just a really good learning experience, life experience to like be just out on my own, living in an apartment in a strange place by myself.
Right.
But then it was okay. I think I'm ready for the next step. And I wanted to get closer to home. So at this point, sent out, you know, a few more tapes. And for some reason, like right away, I just got a job in Providence, Rhode Island. Also the NBC station. They had an opening and I got the job.
Oh, so all of these were NBC. Okay. And then
very strange. I don't know why.
How long were you there?
So I was in Providence for 2 years, and then there happened to be an opening in Boston. And again, at the time, Boston was Market 5. So to go from Market 50, which was Providence, up to Market 5, I mean, now I was finally making that major jump into a major market.
Right. Are you doing nightly news? Are you doing morning? Are you doing...
I've always done mornings. I was doing weekends in Erie, and then I moved to mornings in Providence. And then through a whole backstabbing situation, I got moved to weekends. And that was like a whole... There was drama in Providence.
What was the drama in Providence? That's the title of a new movie. There's drama in Providence.
It was just... I'm just a nice person. I'm nice to people, you know, and
yes.
People are usually nice. I tend to associate with nice people. It just seems like the way the world should work, you know, just yes. Everybody be nice to everybody. But Providence, I worked with a lot of people I absolutely adored. One of my dearest friends I met in Providence. But I also realized that there are people who are out to get you. And, you know, I was doing weekends, and then I got moved to weekday mornings, and then somebody else wanted that position and knew somebody in power who could move me back to weekends and slide open that, you know, slot for her. So I just remember it being like, oh, this kind of stuff can happen. I mean, this really stinks. Or, you know, I have silly things. Like I had vacation approved, but oh no, sorry. You have to fill in for so-and-so now. You know, I mean, it's like, but I had, you know, so it's like that life experience where it's not all going to go your way. There's going to be some roadblocks. Mm-hmm. Which also motivated me to get out of there. Like, I remember that's when I was searching for an agent. I wanted to get out of Providence. I wanted to, you know, move on to something bigger and just kind of get away from the whole situation, which I was able to do.
So local news people have agents.
Yes.
Okay. That isn't a joke. Because you're moving around markets and.
Yes. Yeah. You don't always know what job. Are open. You don't know the inside scoop on who's leaving and what job is about to open up. Your agents obviously have relationships with all the news directors in the bigger markets. I mean, I'd say once you get over market 50, you kind of need an agent to get to some of the bigger markets.
Right. And so you decide to get out and go to Boston. Now, this is a top 5 market. Mm-hmm. Did you ever see yourself staying in Boston?
Yeah. So my now husband, Brian, was my cameraman. We all worked on morning news. And I mean, it took a while. So I had worked in Boston for probably like 4 or 5 years before Brian comes into the picture, because Brian's actually like 6 years younger than me. So he was still in college. Okay. I'm like successful, you know, making decent money. I own my own house. I'm like, you know, things are going good. And then this kid keeps showing up in the weather office and just sort of hanging out. And I'm like,
this guy,
he's telling me stories about like what he's doing with his friends. And it's like, he's such a college kid. Like he's just like, who's this stupid kid who just keeps showing up in the weather office? But he was funny and he made me laugh. And there was a group of us that we'd go out after the noon news. So 1 o'clock in the afternoon, we're all hanging out, you know, having drinks and having a good time. I don't know. It was after several years of us just being friends, something just clicked. And I'm like, I don't really care that he's 6 years younger than me. He's awesome. He's funny. He makes me laugh. He's nice. And like a year later, we were engaged and we were looking for our houses and we were going to move into the suburbs outside of Boston.
Wow. Wow. This is our Valentine's episode. And I always thought it was going to be me and you, but this is a story. I mean, this is, wow. And you thought you would stay.
Yeah. I mean, that was the plan. We immediately got a dog. So our dog Bosco is 12 years old because it was like 12 years ago that we met. Like the second we started dating, we just like, we knew this is it. This is it. This is the future. Let's move near your parents. We were looking at houses. And then all of a sudden my agent's like, I just want you to know there is not a job open at the Today Show right now, but I just kind of mentioned to them that maybe you guys should hire a weekend meteorologist because they were using local meteorologists to kind of just handle Saturday and Sunday. So I think I'm just going to put out there that, you know, maybe you should have coffee with them or just meet with somebody at the Today Show, but don't get your hopes up. There is no job. And I said, sure, I'll meet with whoever. It can't hurt. Happy to do it.
Now, is this exciting?
Exciting and nerve-wracking. I mean, this is the Today Show. Like, that was never on my radar. I mean, you've got Al Roker. That's, you know, there's no chance I'm going to come anywhere close to this world of
right.
network news. You know, like, that's just not going to happen.
Right.
So I go down, I meet some people, all goes well. I kind of like choke down my nerves. You know, I don't know. Do you get nervous before you like meet important people? I mean,
I was super nervous this morning. I was petrified.
I was nervous.
Sure. Of course. I think it's more when I know I'm going to be in front of a group of people and I don't really know what's coming. Like someone says, hey, by the way, we want you to say a few words later on. And so immediately what I think is, oh, they assume that I'm funny, which by the
you
way,
are funny.
I can be, but I actually don't tell jokes. I don't know jokes. I don't, like, that's not what I do.
Right.
It's like a mental thing. I don't remember them. I'm like, oh, that's a good one. I've got to remember that. I have one joke. It's totally inappropriate. I tell that and then I usually am done. And I think like, oh, are they going to be disappointed? But anyway, yeah, in front of a group of people, I do. And what you're talking about, like meetings, mm-hmm. that can be difficult, again, because of not really knowing what the expectation is, what,
right.
you know, how it's going to go in that way or what they're sort of expecting from me. Mm-hmm. But before you go on, I want to say, like, so at this moment, they're like, there's not really a job. Mm-hmm. How long was Willard Scott on the Today Show? Like a long time.
A long time, because Al looked up to him, and Al was doing weekends and Willard was doing the weekdays. And then when, you know, Willard was getting ready to step back a little bit, Al was able to slide into that role. But I mean, 20 years, maybe?
And how long has Al been there?
Al's been at NBC for 40 years. I think he's been with the Today Show maybe 25?
It seems longer
than
that.
It's a long time.
But I mean, okay.
I grew up watching him, so.
Yeah. I mean, I remember Willard Scott, but definitely remember Al Roker taking over. So, okay. So you meet, you're nervous, but there's no job. So, right. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm just literally going to meet people. And small talk chit-chat is not, like, my strong suit. Like, I hate going to Christmas parties. Which is so interesting how you and I became friends, because it's like I don't know. Like, it just, some people you can talk to and there's like little jokes and there's little like, and there's some people like you have to put in effort to talk to, you know, yeah. You have to continue to keep the small talk going. And then there's awkward silence. And I feel like I need to fill the silence or I guess you're just meant to click with some people and not with others. But when it comes to people in a authority position, I don't thrive in that environment.
Okay.
So I swallow all those nerves and I introduce myself and I talk and I answer their questions and I kind of try to sit in a comfortable, you know, position. So I look more confident and I'm just kind of, I get through the meetings and everything is fine. You know, they like me enough that they say, why don't you come back in a couple weekends and just fill in on the show, not the weekday show, just the weekend show. So okay. Yes. This is my big opportunity. We talked about it on the show up in Boston this weekend. You have to watch. Dylan's going to be on the weekend Today Show. We're so excited for her. Yada, yada, yada. So, you know, Boston knew I was going to do this and they kind of knew where, if it went well, where it could lead. So it was all kosher. Everything was all good.
Right.
So I remember I get there and I pick out just the prettiest dress I could find. And it's 4 o'clock in the morning and I wake up and my mom's with me again and we're in the hotel room and I'm getting ready. And she looks at me and she's like, do you have any Spanx? And I was like, no, I don't. And it's 4 o'clock in the morning, so I can't get any. So she's like, okay, I guess it'll be all right. Once again, going in with full confidence here. So it's it's a very different environment. You know, you need to show a lot of personality. It's not just local news where they toss to you, you give a forecast, you make a little joke and you toss back. You know, I mean, this is like you have to intro segments and you have to chit chat with all your co-anchors and you have to go to the plaza where there's a giant crowd of people and you have to interact. You know? So I'm... again, not my strong suit, but I go out to the plaza and I see this guy wearing a chicken hat on his head. And I'm like, this is going to be so easy. He's going to say something funny. I'm going to look adorable. This is going to go so great. So I remember it's my moment. I do the weather and I go and I don't even remember what the question was that I asked this guy, but I asked him something and he goes, So, okay, I get nothing. I ask another question. And I'm like, oh my God, like this guy in a chicken hat just ruined my chance at, you know, showing this big personality and I can play off of that. And like, he ruined my chance. And all any of my friends were talking about was like, what was up with that guy?
With the chicken head.
With the chicken hat. So, all right, whatever. That was that. That was my day. That was my big trial. And I honestly was shocked when they said that they were actually going to offer me a position. It was a couple months later. It wasn't like the next day. So, of course, I'm thinking it's no chance that this is going to happen. But and then we just pick up everything. Brian quits his job and we move down to New York City.
Wow. Now, is this, would you say this is the dream? Like this is the dream.
This is the dream. This is like, and it's funny because now I don't really do that much weather. I mean, if Al Roker's off, I fill in for him. But when I first started, it was a little shaky. I had to get over the nerves at first. They sent me to a talent coach and
to coach your talent,
to coach my talent and to like make me more comfortable. It was almost like a confidence coach kind of thing. But like I will get comfortable eventually, but they wanted me comfortable like right away. And it took some time. So I remember the coach even said, he's like, I don't really know what to do here because you seem confident enough, but I don't know how to help you. Just keep doing what you're doing, I guess. You know, it was kind of that. And I'm like, all right. And it took about a year before I really felt like, okay, you know, I can do this. I can make jokes. I can chime in and I can really be myself. But it took some time. And I remember when I started, they said, you're not Al Roker. Do not be Al Roker. And I'm like, okay, I have to be me. I just have to be me. I can't imitate how anybody else does this. I just have to be me. And I eventually found myself. And that was 10 years ago.
That's really interesting that they said that. I mean, I'll tell you what my first impulse is. I don't know that they would like that I said this. My memory of Al Roker was he was trying to be Willard Scott. Like, I feel like those two guys were very similar, at least early on.
Yes. I would say very similar. I think that just happens to be those two people.
Those two guys.
I think they're just two people who are very similar. And it's funny because now that I am so close with Al, granted, I'm not Al's big personality, you know, but like he and I get each other's jokes. We can kind of finish each other's sentences.
You have good banter.
We have good banter. And he's just like such a pro at, he knows what I want to say. So he'll tee me up so that I can say it, you know, like we just have a good give and take. So I would say, I don't know if Al's like Willard, I'm similar to Al in a way that isn't recognizable, but.
Interesting. So what you just brought up is what I really wanted to talk to you about. Yeah. I mean, you now, if not an actor, certainly an entertainer. I mean, the only difference is we're playing characters and you are a version of yourself, but a version of yourself. So, I mean, really, you start as, and you know, I'm generalizing for comedy. You start as a nerd interested in engineering with four calculus.
It's not an exaggeration.
Four calculus classes to learn meteorology, which is a serious science of weather looking. I've started to fade. And now you're bantering on not just television, but live television, which is something altogether different. Do you love it? Like, are you happy with where you have arrived?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and I can easily talk about weather. They could send me out to a hurricane right now and I can talk you through the storm. Like that's easy for me. I know what I'm doing. People trust me. There's that. The fact that I co-host a show where I don't do any weather is with people I genuinely enjoy being with. It's just so much fun. I mean, every day we leave the show and we're laughing and we're smiling. And I never feel like bummed out when I come to work. I mean, it's the people I get to meet. I mean, the people that we have on the show, like actors, it's so much fun. And even just like the skill of interviewing, I find is, I don't know. I love it. Just like I like making a forecast that's accurate. I love interviewing someone. Like I love having like a paper, you know, like I love having my notes here and not having to look at them. You know, I love knowing the interviewer so much just from like the homework I've done and the prep work I've done where I don't need to like read my question off a paper. You know what I mean? I like being able to just curiously ask them a question. And I like getting better as an interviewer in that way.
Yes, that's me too. I have look, I've got multiple papers here.
But you haven't looked at them once.
But it's way more fun I learned a lot about you. Obviously, getting to know you helps. By the way, if you ever want to interview someone or have a conversation with someone, if you know them in advance, it's way
easier.
That
goes a long way. Yes.
It's me, Blippi, and this is my best friend, Mika.
Hi, I'm Mika, and this is our brand new podcast,
Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. The Blippi-mobile will take us to amazing places.
Click, click, put your seatbelts on, get ready for a ride, we're gonna have some fun.
We'll explore and listen to the sounds of awesome places like farms, racetracks, and even construction sites!
Follow your ears, what do you hear?
And we'll meet new friends along the way!
They'll teach us awesome new things about the places and things we see and hear!
What did we learn today?
Learning is so cool!
Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip Podcasts on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow, thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have like one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Oh my gosh. So you brought up two other things that I wanted to talk to you about. You said if a hurricane comes up and they want you to go, you'll feel comfortable. What in the, I'm sorry. I usually don't say this. What the fuck is, what is, explain to me the phenomenon of news.
Standing out in it?
Going live.
Yeah.
I read in 2013, you were on your way to a blizzard and you, shocker, in a blizzard, you get in a car accident and get a concussion.
All right, that was ridiculous. That's when I first started and didn't say like no to things. I'm like, sure, you want me to get in the car now? Sure, I'll do whatever you want. Now I will tell them, I don't think we should leave now because we're going to get stuck in it. We probably should have left a couple hours ago. So like, I'll speak up for myself now. That was just kind of.
But what does this make for better television? To me, it makes for jokes. Like if somebody is passing around a weather person video on the coast of Florida and there's a hurricane coming, no one is sending. Now, this is a spoiler alert, but no one is sending this like, wow, look at the courage of that meteorologist.
No, I thought that's what they were doing.
No, it's like, what is wrong with this person? Why did they make him stand out there when there's a hurricane coming in? Be real with me. What is it? Okay. Is it rating? I mean, is there, has someone done the research to say this makes for compelling television?
To be honest, I mean, I've stood out in 50 below zero.
God.
In a t-shirt with Vaseline on my arms because we were trying to recreate the theory. Like, how do football players play with short sleeves when it's, you know, like 40 below zero outside?
Vaseline is a,
and somebody
is a big
part
said
of it. They use Vaseline.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I could see it. But
sure.
You can't put a jacket on when your arms are covered in Vaseline. So the repercussions of doing this little shtick for TV were, I mean, it was awful because I just could not get my arm in a coat. That being said,
Okay, wait, first of all, that I get. That is actually fairly funny. I'm going to find that footage. I want to see that footage, but that's a fun. I'm talking about.
Yeah, but you're talking about like standing out in the hurricanes.
Going to a blizzard or like in a hurricane.
Well, and it's funny because like, say we pick a location because that's where it's going to be like the most active during our live shot. If we pick a location and it's not snowing or it's not 60 mile per hour winds, I mean, there's like a sigh of, oh, you don't have a good live shot. I mean, this is TV. It's morning TV. It's sort of entertainment-y. You know, we definitely want a good active live shot. It shows like how cool the weather is. You know, it's like, don't go out in it. We're going to do that for you.
No.
But if you were to go out in it, this is how it would be.
Well, they're not going to hire me as a
producer. Here's
why
you shouldn't go out in it.
This is, yeah. But see, here's the thing. I feel like, well, I guess I'm only putting camera people like your husband in jeopardy. Like, I enjoy seeing it. Not enjoy. I'm sorry. That's a horrible choice of words. I don't mean enjoy it. I appreciate seeing, yes. You know, a disastrous flood. Like, giving visual insight into what is happening, that makes sense to me. But.
Well, let's just say, okay, you know. You're looking at pictures or video and we're trying to explain how strong a storm is.
Yes.
You're going to think this is a ridiculous statement, but I'll tell you, winds right now are 70 miles per hour. Great. That's a number. Sure. Looks like 70 mile per hour winds. But if I stand out in it and you see me, you know, like bracing myself against something so that I don't blow over, now you really get what 70 mile per hour winds look like, right? It stops you in your tracks. You're watching. You want to see what's going to happen. Remember, there is some, like, we're telling you a news story, but it is still a visual medium. So.
Yes. Well, I think partly what you're saying, which I buy about 12% of, by the way, but I get the public safety aspect of a visual image, because I get what you're saying. Like 70 miles, like what is 70 miles per hour? What I'm saying is if you show an image of, like, you know, say in California with the Santa Ana winds, and you show an image of like 80-foot tall palm trees, like sideways, that tells the story. You don't have to show the person standing holding a light post, holding a light post, screaming into a microphone with the wind whipping it, being like, we're out here.
But I want to be your personal connection to the story. I'm why you're going to stick around and watch just to see if maybe it is just to see if something happens. But I'm going to be your personal connection. Because in that theory, why do we stick so-and-so outside a courthouse as we're, you know, teeing up this, you know, the story about whatever, you know, why do we show any live reporters anywhere? Do we have to? No, but we're your personal connection to the story.
Yes, but I would make the argument. This is what I was about to say before. I can't believe you're arguing this point with me. I'm shocked that we're on different sides of this. If you send a reporter into a war-torn area, mm-hmm. okay, and you have the reporter on site, on the place, like, I understand that. Mm-hmm. But you don't really ever, unless it's a mistake, you don't see a reporter with active ammunition and bombs happening immediately next to them at that moment, right?
Okay. Yeah, you make a good point.
Which is akin to what we're discussing. It's like, oh my gosh, there's a hurricane happening. Let's everybody get to Florida and potentially be put in a disastrously dangerous situation.
I will say, the scaredest I've ever been was at a hurricane in Bermuda.
Okay.
Category 3 hurricane. It hit in the middle of the night, so everybody was in their hotel rooms. Like, the windows in my room were bowing. I was waiting for, like, the crash of the windows to just give way, to the point where I slept on the bathroom floor just to brace myself in case that were to happen. I mean, and then I woke up the next morning and it was like, that was really scary. Like, I ended up staying the night in the bathroom, and all the photographers, they're all like Miami based. So they were like, oh yeah, that's what you do. You sleep in the bathtub and just put a mattress over, you know, just put a mattress over the top of the tub. And I was like, oh, all right, cool. So I did this right.
But you went there because the hurricane was coming.
I went there because the hurricane was coming. And I will say, from a meteorologist perspective, I got to see the front side of the hurricane. I got to see the eye of the storm. Where, I mean, these winds, the front side of the hurricane, it was so intense. Like, you thought every tree was going to just topple over. It's just like something you've never seen before. And then all of a sudden, the eye of the storm comes through. You hear birds, you hear crickets, you hear like not a single drop of wind. It is the calmest, like the calmest thing you've ever experienced. And then all of a sudden the backside of the storm comes, and that's when I slept on the bathroom floor. So like, from a meteorologist's perspective, I can look at that stuff on the computer, I can look at visuals, but to experience it, because I know what was happening, yeah, it was scary, but it's fascinating. I just find the weather so fascinating. So I like, you know, I like being outside when the snow is coming down so hard that you can't even see. I like it. It's, I don't know. It's just, it's really fascinating.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. I just don't want anyone in danger.
Right. We're usually pretty good at keeping ourselves safe.
Except when you're sleeping in a bathtub with a mattress over you.
Safely, though.
Most heart-wrenching moment on live television for you was what? On the Today Show.
Heart-wrenching moment.
Like emotional.
Yeah. Man, that's it's tough, especially now that I do get to talk to so many different people. Okay. Outside of, you know, just the weather. So obviously you talk to someone after their home has been destroyed by a tornado, and it's heartbreaking. But I think any story that involves children,
yeah,
especially like little kids overcoming cancer, and they're so positive, and their outlook on life, and they're making bracelets for their friends because that's what they like to do in their free time. I mean, I think any story that involves children is just so... maybe because I have my own kids, that you put yourself in the parent's shoes, and you wonder how some people can get through some of the things they get through. So I would say anything involving kids just breaks my heart. It's hard to keep it together.
Yeah. That's got to be an incredibly difficult thing to go through on live television. I have told the story a couple of times, but you know, we used to have Make-A-Wish kids come. Mm-hmm. And I remember this one day, this kid came, and Kevin was his favorite character. And mm-hmm. Me going to the prop room, like, give him whatever he wants, like whatever he wants. We don't need 14 spare M&M jars. Like, mm-hmm. just give him one. And going into the back and just crying, just being like, this is like a very, just an emotional moment. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine going through that on live television. Do you have a favorite moment?
A favorite moment. So before COVID, like when we traveled a lot, like all the stories, we would just travel. Mm-hmm. And it's just fun. And we were doing a series for Mother's Day, and it was like, let's give your mom something on her bucket list. And I'm like, all right, this is awesome. It's like peak Today Show. And I got to take my mom to Costa Rica to go whitewater rafting, like for a Today Show story. It was such a boondoggle. And to bring my mom along, you know, who it's just like, what is happening? You know, we're flying out to Costa Rica. It's like all expenses paid. You know, it's just like we're doing it for a story. And that was just really special because it was so wild.
Yeah. I mean, hosting live television day after day, do you ever get nervous or are you ever not sure what's coming next? I know you have people in your ears.
Yeah. There are times where it's like, we don't have the video yet. We'll let you know when we got it, you know, and we're just about to toss to the video. And it's, but I don't know, after doing this for so long, and when you're in a comfortable situation, like you could just BS your way through anything. Like you could just keep saying more and more words. And when you run out of words, you're co-hosting with someone who can fill it in with more words. You know, I mean, like we're very good at vamping and just like filling the gaps. There are some times where you won't realize that you were going to be starstruck. I mean, I would say my most embarrassing moment, and it was such a stupid thing. We were on a set visit for like Neighbors. Neighbors 2. Do you remember that movie? It's like Seth Rogen and Zac Efron.
Yes.
So you go and you interview the characters, and it's like, all right, like I know my questions. Like I like to prepare. And for some reason, interviewing Zac Efron just threw me off. And I'm not even like a Zac Efron fan, but he's like standing there and he's got like a tight t-shirt on. And I remember just like my mouth went to open to ask a question. And I'm like, and you know, I'm like tucking my hair behind my ears. And I'm like could not speak. And
this live?
It was not live, but my producer's standing right there and like they're recording, like we're recording this to tape because like we're doing an interview and Seth Rogen's standing right there like, what the hell is going on right now? And it was just the most like disgustingly awful, like embarrassing feeling. It took me for a long time to shake it because it was just like, wow, I just really botched that whole thing. It was so awkward.
Because you love Zac Efron. By the way, when you told me the two people, it was not the person that I had guessed for you, by the way.
I know. And so there are like random times where I don't know what happens. There are certain celebrities who will come on that just like your brain sort of shuts down and you just get a little nervous. I don't know why.
Are you going to get nervous with me?
I think so.
Are
but
you?
In like an excited way. Cause it's like, I don't know. Now it's like, you're my friend and I'm going to bring you on the show. And I want to protect you, you know? And it's like, I want Craig and Alan Chanel to love you as much as I do. And, you know, I want everything to just go really well.
Oh, it will. I'll think of
which
something.
Which is funny because like this just showed up on my desk today. See, I'm like ready for your segment.
Oh, there it is. That's my face. Oh, that's very fun. That's very fun.
So I'll start preparing for our interview.
You better. It's going to be
explosive. Brian did tell me, he's like, when Brian comes on the show, you know, like, don't be too inside baseball, you know, like, remember, it's still just an interview. Don't be like, oh, we're such good friends. And
your husband's giving you advice like a month in advance.
He watches out for me. See?
All right. He does. He's a good guy. I have to talk to you about, well, now that you're a big actor star, Fate of a Sport, you're hosting Earth Odyssey with Dylan Dreyer. The fact that you get your title on the show,
that's cool,
as
right?
Well, that's very
cool. It's not just Earth Odyssey. It's Earth Odyssey with Dylan Dreyer.
Are you passionate about Earth Odyssey?
Oh, I love it. I think we just finished up 5 seasons.
Yeah.
So it's just like the perfect little nature show that you watch on Saturday morning TV with your kids. And it's just, I just love it. I'll fly out to LA. I'll shoot all the on-camera stuff out at the Arboretum outside mm-hmm. of LA. And then I do all the voiceover work in my closet, you know? And it's like, I just, It's awesome.
Do you have a peacock in your closet as well when you're doing your voiceover work? That's what's important.
But my head is now covering it, so I thought you forgot about it.
And I have to talk to you about Misty the Cloud, your best-selling children's book series. You were so kind and sent the books to my girls. They are loving it.
Aww.
I don't know if you ever put this together, but you're a weather person. And it's about a cloud. Was that on purpose?
That was the whole thing.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
It was actually something we came up with like 10 years ago. And it was really, really hard to get a children's book published. I had to, you know, I had to pitch the idea. And I'm like, I'm passionate about this idea. I think there is no world where there are clouds zipping around the sky and they're having fun and they're teaching you little lessons. And it's just fun. Like, why doesn't this exist? It's just really visual and really cool. And think of all the cool characters you can have between like all the different types of weather. So I'm like, I want this to exist. So I pitch it and it's like, that's great. But you know what would be really cool and what's really selling right now? Like biographies about like little known people. So like, what if you write a biography about a female meteorologist who won't take no for an answer? And I was like, so you want me to take no for an answer to write a book about someone who won't take no for an answer? So it's like, right. I'm good. And it's so like we kind of pushed it aside and then we brought it back. And then I really was so passionate about it and just tried and tried and tried. I teamed up with a co-author, Alan Katz, who kind of saw my vision. And yeah, we put it out. The first one came out last year, and then the second one came out this year. So, yeah.
It's awesome and so cute and so beautiful. How many are you going to do? Are you going to do 12?
So the next two books are actually Step Into Reading books, which has been really cool because the first two books came out, which were perfect for Calvin, and now the next two come out, which Calvin's starting to read now, my oldest son. So I can give them to him. And then after that, we have two board books coming out. So, yeah. So just like, it's a fun little series. But our big thing, our goal is to turn this into an animated cartoon, like an animated series at some point. Because again, I think it's great for the books and I love it in the books. And I love talking about science in the back of the books, you know, how to create a rainbow, how to create a thunderstorm. But I still just imagine it as so vibrant and alive and just the things you can do with clouds and colors. And we just kind of see it going even further.
That's awesome. If you need a voice for Misty.
I pictured you as more of like a hurricane.
yes, I am. Dylan, by the way, Dylan and I got to know each other a few weeks ago here at the LPGA Tournament of Champions in Orlando, Florida. Hilton Grand Vacations. Had a great time. I look forward to play. How is the golf? Have you played any golf since we've been back?
You do know I live in New York City, right?
Yeah, I know. So
that's
I guess
why
that's
I'm so bad at golf.
I guess that's a no. I look forward to many more adventures with you on the golf course and et cetera. Start getting nervous about the Today Show.
I promise. I'm so excited. I can't wait to have you on the show. Like, it's just going to be fun. I don't make new friends at this point in my life. You know, I don't know. There's just a lot going on. And it was just really such a special weekend down in Orlando and it clicked and it was just easy and fun. And I'm just so grateful for our friendship now.
Well, happy Valentine's Day.
Oh, happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day to my new friend. And more to come. Congratulations on everything. I look forward to seeing you in New York and this summer at Lake Tahoe.
Oh,
for
yeah.
The American
Wait
Century
for that
Championships.
Invite.
Get your golf game ready.
I know. I need to step it up a little bit. So this way we could be paired up again.
We'll be paired up again, and then I'll take some more of your husband's money.
Well said. We're saving now.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brian.
Dylan, thank you so much for coming on. I can't wait to see you very shortly on the Today Show. I promise. I will try not to make you nervous. This was a treat. It is Conversations like these that remind me why I started Off the Beat. Listeners, as always, you're the best. Thank you so much for joining me. Make sure to tune in next week for another episode of the podcast. I'll see you soon. And whether you're listening today, really any day, you are my Valentine. Off the Beat is hosted and executive produced by me, Brian Baumgartner, alongside our executive producer, Ling Lee. Our senior producer is Diego Tapia. Our producers are Liz Hayes, Hannah Harris, and Emily Carr. Our talent producer is Ryan Papa Zachary, and our intern is Sammy Katz. Our theme song, Bubble and Squeak, performed by the one and only Creed Bratton.
If you're a smoker or dipper looking to make a change, you really only need one reason to do it. But with Zyn nicotine pouches, you can find many. Zyn is America's number one nicotine pouch. It's made with only 6 simple ingredients. Plus, Zyn is the only nicotine pouch with a 10-day hassle-free trial. There are lots of options when it comes to nicotine satisfaction, but there's only one Zyn. Find your Zyn online or in a store near you at zyn.com/find. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Hey, it's me, Blippi, and this is my best friend, Mika.
Hi, I'm Mika, and this is our brand new podcast,
Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. The Blippi-mobile will take us to amazing places.
And we'll meet new friends along the way.
Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.